Rolling like a freight train on a mission. Here's Groover.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No.
Well, it looks like you're going to get taxed a little more often on the internet. The days of the free internet, some would caution have gone up in smoke. The Supreme Court ruling 5-4 that you can in fact collect sales tax across state lines. So people that you didn't vote for have no control over, no ability to deal with, can force you to pay taxes. Dan Papineau is the Director of Tax Policy and Regulatory Affairs at the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
So, this is a big change, obviously. This is something that had been discussed at length over time, but now if I'm sitting in Michigan and I buy something online from a company, pick your state, that company has to collect sales tax for Michigan or the state they originate. I'm confused. Please help me.
No problem. So the Supreme Court, basically through their ruling, they gave states the authority to collect tax from out-of-state retailers. That hasn't been in the case in the past, like you mentioned. But any kind of change, we believe, would require the state legislature to act.
So to act in what way? To say that they're going to collect from all out-of-state retailers that don't have a brick and mortar presence? What does it mean?
That's right. So when right now when you and I go online to purchase an item through the internet, the majority of the time we're not paying Michigan 6% sales tax on those items. And if the state legislature chooses to act on the new authority the Supreme Court has given them through yesterday's ruling, that might not be the case. What the Supreme Court did is essentially overturned what we've often called the physical presence rule. So in order for the state to collect sales tax on an item purchased by a consumer in Michigan, that retailer had to have a physical presence, brick and mortar presence in the state. And when we go online now, we can buy anything we want from all over the country. If we go online and buy a widget from Idaho, we don't have to pay sales tax on that item because that company in Idaho did not have a physical presence in Michigan.
This is important.
The Supreme Court's saying now,
Here's my question. Whose responsibility is it to pay the sales tax? Is it the company's responsibility to make sure they collect the sales tax and turn it into the state of Michigan? Or am I as an individual on the hook to report on my tax return that I bought $1,000 of stuff from Amazon, none of it originated in Michigan, and therefore I owe $60? Where does this come in? Am I responsible? Is the company responsible? I'm confused still.
Okay, so well, right now, if you buy something from out of state, you're supposed to claim a use tax liability on your income tax form. Nobody really does that. If the state was to collect sales tax, the sales tax in Michigan is a tax on the business that the business is allowed to pass on to the consumer. So by the Supreme Court's ruling allowing the state to charge out-of-state retailers sales tax, that'll be very different. Now they will be forced to collect the tax and remit it to the state, where right now it's up to the person that buys it to remit use tax.
Oh boy, it's going to be a mess, isn't it?
Here's my question. We represent over 6,000 members, and we're going to dive into this ruling very thoroughly and see what the best option is to go forward. Because you're right. I mean, this could really be a compliance nightmare for a lot of businesses. If you're running a small business out of your house, out of the state, and all of a sudden you have to collect sales taxes for 40-some different states, that might put you out of business.
Well, and what about the people that live in states that are high sales tax states, like California?
Right.
Their online businesses will go away.
Yeah, I mean,
because
selling a lot of items across the country right here in Michigan. That the compliance.
Right. You look at the sales tax. Well, for example, the sales tax. I know this off the top. The sales tax in Montana is 2%. The sales tax in Michigan is 6%. The sales tax in some other states is even higher. So why would you buy stuff from California or Michigan if you could buy from somebody that could sell the same thing out of Montana? You'd go there, right? You'd have a lot less money. But here's my question. If I go to Indiana and buy a couch on sale or whatever, and I buy a couch, I spend $1,000 and put it in my pickup truck and drive it back to Michigan, I'm not paying Michigan sales tax on it to do that, obviously.
Right.
So what's the difference?
You're not buying that couch online, so. But if you were to buy that couch online, now Indiana would have to that retailer in Indiana would have to collect Michigan sales tax and send it up north to the Department of Treasury here in Michigan. You know, you raise a good point too, because the really big hope now is that Congress acts and pass some kind of legislation that will provide uniformity among all states. You know, e-commerce now is across state borders, and it would be great to have some uniformity across the entire country.
Yeah, so you would know it's a 5%, it's a 2%, whatever it is, and just make it a flat, you know. Of course, a flat tax has been a great idea for years, in my estimation. Dan, it's never gone anywhere, but that's a story for a different day. But yeah. Some folks, like Grover Norquist at Americans for Tax Reform, say the problem with this is much bigger because it'll open up the opportunity not only for states to go after sales tax, but income tax and other taxes, because taxes that have been out of reach, off limits, if you will, for many years, have now been opened back up for interpretation. Do you see that as a possibility?
I do, but I think that's a little bit, perhaps in the future, but I think we're more narrowly focused on sales tax across state borders.
All right, so I guess my question to you at the Chamber of Commerce, what is your biggest concern? Will you work forward to find legislators, at least in the state of Michigan, to figure out what they're going to do here to get a handle on it? Because it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on the bottom line. Consumers are going to pay more, obviously, and because taxes always get translated over to the bottom line, don't they?
That's right. You know, we have to vet the decision. We'll talk to our members. We'll have a front seat at the table in the discussion with the legislature and the executive branch on how to move forward. But what I can tell you is we don't want this excess revenue, if it comes to be used as some giant slush fund used for a bunch of one-off government programs. Either that money
that's
used
what it'll be
taxpayers or used for major priorities like roads and infrastructure in our state.
Yeah, there you go. More taxes to fix the roads that never seems to happen. Sorry if I'm a cynic on that one, Dan, but good Lord. Tax me once, tax me twice, and it goes on and on and on. So this is obviously something, a deep dive is coming from the chamber to figure out how this is going to play out, who's going to get impacted, how it's going to impact businesses, because that's my concern. The small businesses, like you said, the home-based business, this could be stifling. And in a time when the economy is doing so well, to put a boot on these small home businesses, not a good plan. I'll give you the last word, Dan.
Well, thanks, Steve. The Michigan Chamber has the ability to bring together the experts from the field, and we'll review what's taking place and see how it affects businesses and how we can work with the state to move forward. What I can tell you is maybe it's a good time to start a sales tax compliance business here, because it's going to be a total nightmare to comply with these things across 50 states.
I like that, Dan. You see opportunity. Let's see. We've got new taxes, new problems. Wait a second. You can open a new business on tax compliance. And make sure if you do, to join the Michigan Chamber. Dan. I greatly appreciate that. Nice conversation. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
There you have it. Dan Papineau, Director of the Tax Policy and Regulatory Affairs of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Hey, man, it's an opportunity. I like that. You know, something changes, not good for some folks, but if you're smart, you can capitalize. That's why America rocks. Straight ahead, it's Steve Doolin. Speed round with the professor after this.